not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And we welcome you this morning to Gospel Dynamite, a Christian broadcast dedicated to the evangelization of the lost and the revival of God's people. This broadcast is brought to you by Gospel Dynamite. I'm Alan Mashburn, your speaker, and the interim pastor of Asbury Baptist Church in Seagrove, North Carolina. At any given time, I invite you to log on to our website, gospeldynamite.org, and follow our ministry. Now we invite you to open your Bible as we teach from the Word of God.
You're listening to Gospel Dynamite. Thank you for joining us this morning. We find ourselves in Romans chapter 3 and verses 9 through 20. Romans 3, verses 9 through 20. Bible says, "What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." We speak to you today on the man in my mirror. The man in my mirror. Most of us have an image of ourselves that's somewhat different from reality. We feel many times that we're thinner than we really are. A lot of times we'll say we're fatter than we really are. Others may believe that they're smarter or perhaps even dumber than they really are. The same deceptive self-image slips into our view of our spiritual selves, our spiritual lives as well. Most, if not all of us, believe that we're basically good people. We want to think that we are in good shape spiritually. This isn't just a situation that is true among the members of a church, but nearly every person who exists around us has the idea that all is well within his or her heart. Sadly, that's simply not the truth. The verses we've just read tells us about the man in our mirror. Every day we look at a person in the mirror who is nothing like we think he or she is. And the passage reveals the truth that we're nothing more than sinners in the eyes of the Lord. Now, Paul had just told his readers that the immoral as well as the moral pagan are condemned before the Lord. Then he tells them that the moral and the immoral Jew stand condemned as well. Now he's telling them that every man, no matter who he is a sinner in the sight of God. Folks, that's a hard pill to swallow. That's a hard pill for a lot of people to swallow, especially in our day. Yet understanding this truth is the first step in coming to God for salvation. So let's look at these verses that tell us about the man in the mirror. And as we're in this message, realize that the man in your mirror is no different than the one I look at every day. And hopefully, if there's someone that's listening who has never come to realize that you are a sinner lost before God, that today you will see that, the light will come on, and you'll see exactly who and what you really are. Now, by the same token, we who are saved need to be reminded from time to time that we have no ground from which we could boast before the Lord. We are what we are by the grace of God. Now, in verses 9 and 10, we see, Paul says, that sin is a universal problem. That is, it touches every race. He begins, he said, "What then, are we better than they?" And Paul deals with this in the matter of sin and how it touches every race. He says, "No, we're not better in no wise, for we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they're all under sin." Paul tells us that sin is a problem that affects both the Jew and the Gentile. Regardless of the color of your skin, you're still a sinner. No one is exempt from the stain of sin. The white man, black man, red man, brown man, yellow man, all are sinners in the sight of the Lord. It is a universal problem. Also in verse 9, it touches every religion. Paul tells us that the Jew and the Gentile, Jew and the pagan, are both sinners. It matters not how dedicated they may be to their religion. They are still sinners in the sight of God. Notice the words. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. Paul tells his Christian readers that they are no different than anyone else. All men are sinners. There's no one escaping that awful truth. Many have the mistaken idea that believing strongly enough in your religion has the power to take away your sins. Some religion doesn't even speak or even bring up the fact of wrongdoing or sin that you have to be redeemed from. That is Satan's wonderful tool that he uses to deceive people. Some think that sincerity is the key to having sin removed. However, the truth of the matter is, no one has ever been saved by religion, and no one has ever been saved by sincerity. You can sincerely believe anything you want to, and you can be sincerely wrong, you'll be sincerely deceived, and you'll be headed to a devil's hell. And verse 10, Paul reaches out and says, it tarnishes all righteousness. Now, here is God's indictment of the sinner. He looks at them and he says, there is none righteous. No, not one. He looks at them and says, no man has the ability to produce righteousness. In fact, the Bible tells us that the best we can produce in the flesh is as filthy rags in the sight of God, Isaiah 64, verse 6. The best we can do will never be good enough for God. The problem with that idea is that Jesus said that we had to possess perfect righteousness to get into heaven, Matthew 5 and verse 20, Matthew 5 and verse 48. In and of ourselves, that's absolutely impossible. I can never be good enough to please God because I am a sinner and everything I touch is ruined by my sin. It's the Midas touch in reverse. When we as sinners touch something, it doesn't turn to gold. It turns to junk in the sight of God. Man's problem is that man always measures himself against the wrong measuring stick. We look at our neighbors and we say, well, I am certainly not as bad as he is. People do that and then they feel that they're somehow superior and pleasing to God because they're not as wicked as their neighbor. However, what man forgets is that dead is still dead and just as lost is still lost. Imagine for a moment that some people in Hawaii decide to come to the mainland. However, they're going to try a pretty unconventional method in getting here. Instead of taking boats or planes, they decide to see if they can jump across the ocean. Some of them may be in great shape. They run, they jump with all their might, and some might make it 25 feet or so. Others who aren't as good a shape might be able to jump 10 or 15 feet. Still others who are in very bad shape might have difficulty jumping even 5 feet. Now, those who jump the farthest might look down on those who jump the least and feel superior, but the fact is, none of them were able to go the distance. Now, that's a pretty silly illustration. That's exactly what some people are trying to do. They're trying to jump into heaven on the basis of their being in better spiritual shape, quote unquote, than someone else. And people can try anything they please, but the fact remains that there's only one cure. There's only one cure for the sin problem, and there's only one way you can make it to heaven, and that is through the faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we trust ourselves to get to heaven, we will trust ourselves right into hell. Sin is a horrible problem, and it only has one cure, and that cure is faith in Jesus Christ. Sin is a universal problem. But Paul says also in verses 11 through 18 that sin is not only a universal problem, but sin is an ugly problem. The sinful nature of man will always manifest itself in his life. These verses tell all about the problems that man has because he is a sinner. These statements prove that while sin is a universal problem, everyone must deal with it, and it is also an ugly problem. Notice what sin has done to the sinner. Verse 10, it's tarnished our spirit. This has already been touched on, but the fact that we are sinners is why we are barred from entering heaven. The fact that we are sinners is why we cannot please God. And simply stated, we are wicked to the core of our beings, and there is no good at all in us. That may bother folks, but it's true nonetheless. You can search the world from town to town, interviewing every one of the nearly 7 billion people in the world, and you'll not find a single righteous man on his own merits. You may find someone who seem better than others, but when they're judged by the standard of God, the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ, then the truth is plain to see. They're guilty before the Lord. Men may look good on the outside, but inwardly they are rotten and they're wicked to the core. Matthew 23, verses 27 and 28. Not only has sin tarnished our spirit, sin has tarnished our senses. Verse 11. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. This verse teaches the terrible truth that sin has dulled our minds to the truth of God. We cannot understand Him, and there's not one single person in this world who will seek God if left to himself. Nobody just decides to go after God. When a person begins to hunger for the Lord, it is the work of God in his spirit. Man is a rebel, and man is also dead, according to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, until the Lord quickens, that is, makes him alive in his heart and creates a hunger in man for God. John 6:44, sin has left us with spiritual brain damage. Verse 12, sin has tarnished our souls. This verse makes the accusation that all sinners are wayward and are completely worthless before God. It is the same idea that's mentioned in Isaiah 53 and verse 6, and it's pictured in the parable of the lost sheep in Luke chapter 15. The picture is one who is unusable to the Lord. Not only has sin dulled our minds and damaged our spirits, it also has dirtied our vessels. God will not, cannot use a dirty vessel. It is worthless unless it has been cleansed and made worthy of the Lord. That's why he says that there's none that doeth good. We might be tempted to disagree with that statement. After all, surely there's a difference between Mother Teresa, who spent all her years working among the untouchables of India, and that of a Saddam Hussein, who is responsible for untold misery and suffering. Or there must be a difference between the doctor who uses his education and talent to heal and one who uses his talent to perform abortions. From a human standpoint, there's a difference between their works, and from our vantage point, we see that some people work good while others work evil. However, from a heavenly standpoint, God looks at all our works as they appear beside His righteousness, and that leaves us guilty in His sight. Imagine seeing New York City from a boat in the harbor. It would be easy to see the difference in the buildings. Some would be very short, others would be very tall. Still others would leap into the sky. Now imagine seeing that same city from the window of an airplane flying high overhead. From our vantage point, it would be impossible to tell which buildings were tall and which were short. It is all a matter of perspective. Unfortunately, man's perspective will not count for anything when it's time to face judgment for our sins. Now, Paul moves on to tell us in verses 13 and 14 that sin has tarnished our speech. He's merely echoing the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, Matthew chapter 12, 15, and Proverbs chapter 15, and verse 2 and verse 28. It's a fact, but your words will reveal the condition of your heart. Notice what the writer says about the sinner's speech. He says it's like the smell of a rotting corpse. Just to listen to the language of society will tell you that men are rotten on the inside. If not, then tell me why so many of our slang and curse words have to do with human excrement and perverted sexual acts. Secondly, it's filled with lies and deception. It exaggerates its own greatness. It flatters. It lies without remorse. Lying has become the national pastime. It is everywhere from the White House to the church house. And it's another indication that man is a wicked sinner. Thirdly, he says it's like a deadly poison. Think of the souls damned to hell by the poison of false doctrine that dripped from the lips of some infidel preacher. Think of the deadly poison that has ruined the life and reputation of godly people through gossip and rumor. The tongue is a wicked thing. No wonder the Lord sealed it behind a wall of flesh and a wall of ivory. No wonder He tells us that to tame the tongue is to be able to control the entire body and to live perfectly in James 3 and verse 2. Number four, he says it's a weapon of the most devastating power. The tongue of the sinner is a dreadful thing. It can ruin lives. It can damage testimonies and reputations. It can do more damage than a lifetime of right living can undo. I don't know how you use your tongue, but I do know that how you speak reveals the condition of your heart. Remember the words of our Savior, Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Verses 15 through 17, sin, Paul tells us, has tarnished our steps. Paul tells us that the influence of sin in our lives has caused us to be extraordinarily cruel and wicked in the way we walk. Notice what he says about the sinful heart. Verse 15, their feet are swift to shed blood. We're quick to shed blood. It speaks of murder. One need look no farther than the statistics concerning abortion to know that's true. Since 1973, well over 30 million children have been murdered legally in this country. That's more than 10 times the number of war dead from every war in American history, from the Revolutionary War on through today. One researcher has concluded that a child born in the 1980s in America had a greater chance of being murdered than an American soldier had of being killed in battle in World War II. We are guilty, folks. we're guilty. How God can withhold judgment, how God can issue mercy for America is beyond me. Verse 16, people are growing more and more brutal. The Bible says destruction and misery are in their ways. Paul says that destruction and misery are in their paths. That is, as people go through life, they are guilty of stepping on one another to have and to get their own way. Often lives are lost, and they're permanently damaged by people who are simply brutal in the way they live. Verse 17, people do not really want to live in peace. Look with it, verse 17. And the way of peace have they not known. Basically, people just want to have their own way, and they want to do things their own way. They do not want rules. They do not want laws. They want to do and act the way they want to do, and they have no idea, nor do they care how it affects others. They do not care about the rights of others, and they will stop at nothing to achieve their own goals, their own dreams, their own ways. Verse 18, sin has tarnished our sights. There is no fear of God before their eyes. This last charge against the sinner tells us that mankind possesses no fear of God. That is why he is able to do all of these things and not care about the consequences. That is why he's able to live the kind of life that he does. To put it simple, men do not fear God. God has already told mankind what will happen as a result of their sins. Man has chosen not to believe the Word of God. In fact, most people live as though God does not exist. That's called practical atheism. This kind of person knows there is a God, whether they say they don't believe in Him or not. They fight Him tooth and nail, thus they confirm their belief in God. But they say there is no God. However, they know there is a God. They know there is a hell. They know that he or she needs to live for God. Yet they choose to live their life in a way as if there was no God. There were no absolutes. And this frees him or her from any restrictions on their behavior, and it allows him to do as he pleases. God has a name for people like that. It's found in Psalm 14, verse 1. God calls you a fool. It is the fear of God that motivates men to come to Jesus Christ for salvation. It is the fear of God that motivates the Christian to live for Christ. Fear is a healthy force for righteousness if that fear is born out of a desire to please the Lord. So Paul tells us sin is a universal problem. Sin is an ugly problem. Verses 19 and 20, sin is an undeniable problem. Man's sin is declared by the law, verse 19. Because the law of God condemns all the things that man is guilty of, man stands condemned by the law. The law has the ability to show us just how wicked we really are. J.B. Phillips wrote this, "It is the straight edge of the law that shows us how crooked we really are." No one can look into the Word of God and miss the truth of what Paul's saying. It is the Word of God that shows us how wicked, how wretched we really are. And God gave the law to man as a tool. It was given to show man that he is a sinner and to drive man to Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 24. If the law had one purpose, it was to show us that we're guilty before God. The law is like a mirror, according to James chapter 1. It can show you how dirty your face is, but it cannot be used to clean you up. You don't take the mirror and rub it on your face to get clean. The mirror is there to point you to the water. So it is with the law. The law can't clean you up. It's there to show you your sin. It is there to create a hunger in us for the one who can cleanse our hearts, cleanse our souls. And that's none other but Jesus Christ. Looking into the law cannot save you. Living out the law cannot save you. The only thing that can save the sinner is coming to Jesus Christ by faith. We have too many that are trying to good their way to God. It won't work. The Bible is clear. Ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. The conclusion is crystal clear. We are all sinners before a holy God. And there's one solution for sin. And it won't be found in something doing good for another person. It will be found only in a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to ask you, are you saved by grace through faith? If you were to die right now at the end of our broadcast, would you die a child of God, completely trusting in Jesus, nothing else, to take you to heaven? How do you stand before God right now? How do you stand before Jesus Christ? The law condemns your actions. The law condemns the condition of your heart. Jesus Christ cleanses your soul. Jesus Christ can save your soul. And then He imputes His own righteousness to your account, to your life. And when God the Father looks at you, He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That, my friend, is the grace of God. Come to Christ. Come to Christ today. Consider Him. He is the Savior, the cleanser of the heart.
Thank you for listening to our broadcast today. We trust it's been a blessing. Trust you'll have a great week in the Lord. Log on to our website, gospeldynamite.org, and let us know if you've accepted Christ or this message has helped you. God bless you, and we trust you have a great day in the Lord.